for you and fool you. Now, E.R., don't get upset. I didn't say you were a fool. I'm asking the question to everyone and to myself. Are we a bunch of fools here this morning? Well, you know, I want us to know that God answers that question, and the psalmist tells us about it. In Psalms 14 and 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I rephrase the question, are you a fool? I doubt that there's any fool in here this morning, because the very fact that we have assembled here indicates that we believe in the true and the living God. Now, I want us to study the subject this morning about the reality of God. He's real. He's real in our lives. Yes, and we glorify God. God is a spirit. He's not a human being. Now, Jesus Christ, his Son, came to earth and took on the form of flesh and lived in the flesh and suffered in the flesh and died in the flesh, that he might understand the problems of mankind. The point is, I just believe that every one of us here this morning believes in the reality of God, that he is the true and the living God, and we worship him in spirit and in truth, as we have been worshiping him and are worshiping him now by studying about him. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He knows that. He believes there is a God. Now, we can look at the greatness of God. And first we want to talk about the creation. When we read in the first and the second chapters of the book of Genesis, mostly in the first, we read about the creation. And there are people today who will, they're still looking for answers as to the creation. I remember back when man first set foot on the moon, that was so many years ago, and I heard a scientist rejoicing on the TV news, and he was saying, we're going to find out the origin of man now. I guess he thought man originated on the moon. But I just said to myself, well, you poor soul. If you just read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, you'd understand. You wouldn't have to expose yourself like you're doing now, exposing your ignorance like you're doing now. Well, the reality of God. God is real, and we see that in the creation. He spoke things into being. Have you ever known a human being that could stick things in the... Now, he could push a button and the light will turn on. Yes. But have you ever known a human being to stick something in the being? No, the electricity was already put there and it was just waiting, and when you push the button or flip the switch, then the light comes on. And it's no miracle at all. It's just something that's plain. The greatness of God is seen in his creation of man and all of the things that happen. Oh, it's so interesting. Last night I was watching a tape about, you remember the monkey trial down here in Tennessee a number of years ago. down here. That's what it was about. And that guy that was speaking up in defense of evolution, I thought to myself, you poor soul. And I have sympathy for the way he was talking and discrediting the Bible and so forth. Well, yes, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, as the Bible tells us. He created man. He created all of the things for man, all of the things that we need. And somebody might ask, well, what's his name? Moses went to God in Exodus 3 and 14 and asked God, what is your name? And God said, I am that I am. Well, what does that mean? He's from everlasting to everlasting, as we see in Psalms 90 and 2. God didn't have any beginning. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And now, we can be everlasting, but not from everlasting. Now, we can live eternally in heaven with God. I cannot understand eternity, because you and I only understand the beginning and the end. Now, yes, I remember when I was a year old, and people laugh at me and say, you can't. Well, I do. Something that happened then, and it stood out. Now, I don't know when my days will end, and he was right. My little brother said that right when he said that I planned to live past 100. And that's right. I said all my life I planned to live past 100. I may or may not. And he has already scheduled me to preach here sometime in the future. And the town congregation has extended an invitation to me to preach on my 100th birthday, and I've got to live, and I've got to live to be 114 to pay off the mortgage on my house. So I don't know where I'll die. Now, all my life people have asked me, why don't you get some burial insurance? I said, well, I'm not needing it now, but I have made arrangements. I decided that I might be wrong, but I might not make it to 100. But you know, God didn't have any beginning. Can you just imagine now, from eternity to eternity? I think of eternity as like this, and I've been out on the ocean. I remember in World War II, went on a ship over to England and spent about 2 years there in the Air Force. I enjoyed being there, meeting the Christians and so forth. But out on the ocean, where you couldn't see land anywhere, the horizon was easy. But when we get to that point, it was on and on and on. And I've driven out west in desert land, where the horizon is the same. And when you get to that point, it's again the same thing. You know, I don't think to this world. Heaven means a lot to me. God means a lot to me. Christ means a lot, and the Holy Spirit. And I hope to be in heaven and talk with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Somebody might say, well, Christian and I are talking with the Spirit. So, you know, the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit as a person. Yes. Somebody asked me, well, what language would you use? we'll use the heavenly language. That's what we'll be using. I'm not worried about that. I just want to get there. And I want to be with God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the redeemed of all of the ages throughout eternity. I want to be there. So God is from everlasting to everlasting. I was born in 1921, but, my life will come to an end. Most likely, I'll put it that way. Now, let's move on further now. We see where God just simply answered Moses and said, I am that I am. And God is the great I am. The great I am. And let's notice that God is not only from everlasting to everlasting, but he can give everlasting life to all human beings. And that's what we want. Everlasting life in heaven with God forever. God's able to do that. God is real. I sometimes think, and I've known men who could not be the perfect prayer in the world. They just say, I can't do it. I'm wondering, now I'm not judging, but I'm wondering if the reason is that it's hard for us to pray to a spirit. Now, I started praying to God early in my life. And God is real to me. And I don't think about God being a spirit and that I'm a human being. I just think of God as being my God, my friend. Yeah. And I can talk to him. They are not. Yeah. Well, the great I am. And God is all knowledgeable. Looking at something else about this group. Do you know a human being with all knowledge? I know some who think they are. But I don't know a human being who knows it all. In 1950, I graduated from Abilene Christian College in Abilene, Texas, with a bachelor's degree. But you know, there's one thing that I knew for sure. I knew I didn't know everything. So I didn't start there. I asked my own question. And if my memory doesn't fail me, I think my last work in the university was the University of Alabama a number of years ago. And I still don't know everything. But God knows everything. Now, I don't know what Frank ate for breakfast this morning. He knows, but I don't know, so I don't know everything. I just don't know. Well, God knows everything. He's all knowledgeable. And then let's look at the foreknowledge of God in taking care of and making plans for our health needs. Now, let's look at that. God created the human body. He created it to function properly. And when the body is functioning properly, we are in good health. My doctor tells me I am in good health. And he said, well, why am I staggering around? Well, it's not because I've been drinking something bad. That's not it. It's because when I lost my hearing, I lost my sense of balance. And that's the reason I'm staggering. And, but I'm glad that he found that I am in good health. And I may make a pact to come to that. Well, let's notice that God, the foreknowledge of God, was that he knew we needed different things in creating the human body, he fixed it so the human body would create some of the things that it needs itself. I want to call your attention to the fact that God knew that most likely we'd all be filthy, nasty people. Now, don't get angry when I say that. He knew we wouldn't always be careful about what we're doing to our health. I remember in high school seeing boys bouncing the basketball down the goal and then they'd lick the fingers. Or maybe they'd eat something with the fingers and then lick the fingers. And I thought to myself, why don't they just get down and lick the floor? You wouldn't get any more bacteria that way, harmful bacteria that way. Just get down and lick the floor. And you know, all of us use doorknobs. One of the filthiest things around. Because everybody knows. We all handle the telephone. We all handle different things. You know, I guess let's say we handle money, and I guess we handle the $1 bill more than $100 bill. So. But anyway, they're all contaminated with harmful bacteria. Have you ever thought about that? Well, God did. And He created within the body a means of the body secreting hydrochloric acid. And don't you go out and drink a bottle of hydrochloric acid, it'll eat it for somebody. Don't do that. God fixed it so that the body was created in just the way that it needs to be created to some extent, heal those harmful bacteria. But if we're going to be so nasty with our living, that we don't wash our hands, I tell people, I'm not a Pharisee, I wash my hands. Well, in fact, we said I'm not a Pharisee. But if we go out and overdo the thing of putting poison, harmful bacteria into our stomach, then we might overload the hydrochloric acid that God would put in there to kill the harmful bacteria. And then another thing. You know how you have hair growing in the nostrils? God knew that we needed that for purification. God knew that. God knew what we needed. Sometimes people say, oh, I need another hand. Well, where would you put it? Protruding out from the back? Turning out from the front, get in the way with it. For man can design something, never as good as what God has designed. I'm pleased with the body design that God gave us. He knew what we needed. He knew that we needed arms and legs. Now we I heard of a man who for some reason had lost both arms and both legs. And you just imagine a human being, the body without the limbs, just the head and the trunk. And when his nose started itching, he couldn't stretch. He then gave a spin. And if I start asking in the back, if I can reach it, if I can't reach it, then I have to go up and just the door closed. But God took care of all of those things. And then something else I wanted to point out. Now, food. We read in history, ancient history, about the Egyptians growing wheat. Wheat has been used for food from the days of antiquity. Now, it's a good food. I remember early in life, when they came out with what they called the white rose, what the white rose. And people just went crazy over that. They thought that was so wonderful. But what they didn't know, that in order to make that, they were taking the good food value out of that. And when you eat white bread, you're not getting your food back. Not getting it. That's the reason I eat the whole wheat bread. And people made fun of me for doing that. But I tell you, it's paying off in longevity. Now, let's notice something else. God gave us life. You prefer white rice or brown rice? Same reason. People make the white rice and take the food value. Some things to think about. God knew what we needed. Let's not work against God. Now, I didn't say this in the beginning, but I'll take time right now to say this. We're going to pause and sing a song. It's number 5, I believe, in the book. And if you will, open your book to number 5, your song book to number 5, and how great thou art. Let me just read some. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. In chapter 2, when through the woods and forest blades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brooks and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I cherish and take it in. But on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. And I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Now, at this time, we are going to lead us in singing this song.
Thank you.
Though man may search, they cannot find, for God alone doth understand. Our God, whose Son on a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free, and evermore him to live. There is a God. He is alive. In him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I Am. Theosophy.
We
come to realize that God is delivering. And then we repent of our sin. We're turning away from that sinful life, the life of darkness in the kingdom of the devil. We're turning away from that. We won't be ready to be with the Lord. And then we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then we are baptized into Christ. Now, I could keep a series of lessons on baptism, but that would take me past 3 o'clock this afternoon, and you wouldn't want that. So let me just tell you this, that we find in wrapped up in all of this is the new birth that Jesus spoke of, and we go down into the watery grave of baptism, and we rise to walk as a new creature, not in the old kingdom of the devil, but in the kingdom of Christ. Now, my friend, the new birth is not complicated. Some people will try to tell you that, but that's what it is, leaving the power of the devil and obeying the Lord, and the Lord will tell you, the Apostle Paul, he promised this way, that we as Christians are delivered, notice the words that he used, delivered out of the power of darkness, the devil's kingdom, and translated, notice the word, translated now, into the kingdom of Christ. Are you a child of God? I don't believe you're a fool. We've got it that clear. But the question is, are you a child of God? Is your faith strong enough to cause you to repent of your sin, confess the name of Christ, and be buried in the watery grave of baptism? If your faith is that strong, you need to obey the gospel. The day that you have done that and you have not been faithful, now would be the time to come back to the Lord. In any case, you're subject to the invitation of the Lord when you come forward, all together, and stand together.